last week on the Lords of Grantha podcast. We were talking The Crown, Season 6, Episode 6, Ruritania. It was about Queen Elizabeth's disapproval or distaste for Tony Blair and how they kind of had to work through their differences and her just hanging out until he became less popular. I don't think that has anything to do with this week on The Crown because we're going to school with Prince William and we'll do that right now. Let's go. Let's go back to our alma mater on The Crown on the Lords of Grantha podcast.
Man, I love college. Hey! I love drinking. Hey! I love women. Hey! I love college.
And we are back once again this week. Doubleheader. We gave you our Downton Abbey 3 preview, hot takes, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But we're back to our regular scheduled program, Season 6, Episode 7 of The Crown. Corey, what's going on?
I'm ready to go to my alma mater, Dave.
Okay. University of Connecticut?
Yes. Dave, what's your alma mater?
Hofstra University.
Oh, that's right. I know that. I've been there a few times. We're only saying this because that's the name of this episode. It's about
yes.
Prince William going to college and... Yeah, this is another week where it's kind of short on plot, and I am curious to see how long it will take us to talk through this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But as Dave said, the biggest news was Downton Abbey 3 was announced. Bridgerton Season 3 is coming out this week, seeing all kinds of news about that. But the biggest news for us is we're doing a Patreon, Dave, a Patreon special.
Yeah. Well, so people... have been coming out of the woodwork. One of our listeners said, hey, I'm looking through the feed and I can't find Bridgerton Season 2. And then it was funny to me that other listeners of the podcast were like, oh yeah, they never cover Bridgerton Season 2 because of the bad reception. Like, people spoke on our behalf. And I was like, you know what? In the past couple of weeks, we've been trying to wrap our head around why we have not covered Bridgerton Season 2. What has been stopping us from covering Bridgerton Season 2. And the consensus that I had in my head from our discussion was that we're just so far behind the ball, it would set us even further back.
Mm-hmm.
So we were thinking, we've recently revamped the way our Patreon is presented. We're using their platform a lot more efficiently now. And I was thinking, you know, Bridgerton Season 3 as a target, looking at Bridgerton slippers, Bridgerton tea. And I said, man, we do need to strike while the iron's hot, and I don't want to miss this. Even if we're a month late,
mm-hmm.
that's better than being a year late.
For sure.
So what we've come to the conclusion is that over the next several weeks, we're not going to nail it down specifics. We're going to try to do bi-weekly drops of two episodes at a time
mm-hmm.
of Bridgerton. So we're going to watch Season 2, Episode 1, and Episode 2 this week on our Patreon.
And they'll be dropping there's 8 episodes, so for 4 weeks we'll be running through Bridgerton Season 2, and that means in June we will be kicking off coverage of Bridgerton Season 3.
Yeah, yes, so...
We did already cover Queen Charlotte last year. If you haven't heard that, you can go back and find those episodes.
Mm-hmm. And for those that might be like, how are they going to do two episodes at once? Is it going to be thorough? It's going to be more conversational. It's going to be less... what we do on these main feed episodes where we break down every plot. Granted, we're watching a Crown episode that's very linear, so there's not much to divert here, but it's going to be just straightforward. We're going to say, oh, this is the plot summary, instead of going for 45 minutes talking about the plot summary. We might read it off of Wikipedia or IMDb and then just talk about the things we liked and didn't like.
But again, we're going to talk as in-depth as we can. Mm-hmm. Can on them.
It's we're just, not going to shortchange you.
They're full 2 hours. That was the thing. It sounded very doable. Yeah, and then I looked at the run times of each episode. And I was like, humming. This is another 2 hours of TV. We
hour
have to
10 on that episode, first episode. I already watched. I watched the first one, and I will say I'm excited to talk about it. So
same. I'm not regretting a decision. And so yeah, listeners, if you're not a Patreon subscriber, sign up for it. It's going to be a good run.
Yeah, even if you just want to sign up for the Bridgerton run and cancel. You'll get our entire backlog.
Do it. Sure.
And then maybe you'll realize that you like supporting this podcast because you're listening right now. So hopefully that's something you're interested in. It's for our upstairs tier, which is $5 a month, and it should be maybe 4 to 6 weeks of coverage. We're going to try to do it, but if we have personal conflicts, you know, like life conflicts, or if we have a personal fight between us, it might slow things down.
Yeah, but if Down Abbey 3 gets released in the next few weeks, if yeah, they just exactly. accelerate the release of that one.
But that's something to look forward to for you and for us, so
mm-hmm.
maybe think about joining our Patreon. And otherwise, you're gonna miss our analysis of season 2. So,
yeah,
enough Patreon promotion and Bridgerton talk. Time to go back to school.
Yes, indeed. Well, even before we go to that, it's December 1996, and we see who we're supposed to believe is Kate Middleton. It is Kate Middleton, but it takes you a minute to pick that up. And they're just shopping. Her mom and her. She's a teenager. And they're walking out of the store, and across the street, they spot none other than Elizabeth Debicki. Or Princess Diana, some may say. Yeah. and so she's with William, and they're selling a magazine, you know, about like anti-drugs stuff. And so the mom pulls out a pound to donate, and Kate's like, no, we need to donate more than that. And she has a brief exchange with William where they kind of lock eyes and give each other a smile and makes it sound, it seem like they're predetermined.
Predetermined or the beginning of something that's incredibly creepy and a little bizarre.
Contrived. Well, Dave, just to start off, did this exchange happen or not?
I would like to think it did.
No, it was entirely fictional. All of that.
Oh, come on.
Never happened.
It's probably for the best that it didn't happen because it really sets the tone for what is a sort of borderline creepy series of events, you mm-hmm. might say.
Yeah. So.
William's 18.
Yeah. We get a brief scene. Yeah, of her just explaining her father's royal connections.
Oh, yeah. Before we get to the party, yeah.
Yeah, so this is giving us the download on, like, okay, she doesn't come from nothing. She is a bit of something, you know. And the mom is telling her, you know, there's nothing you're not good enough for, hyping her up. You got the goods to maybe be a queen one day. We'll see. And then we smash cut to Chemical Brothers playing 3 years later. It's a party at school, and William is getting S-faced.
Yep. He's getting loaded. The boy's having his share of alcohol, and then the next morning he's got to go do a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's asked all kinds of questions about college, and they say, you know, the press had an agreement to not follow you around as a child, but now you're an adult. What are you going to do, boy?
And he's like, I hope it won't change, which is an aw shucks kind of answer. I don't know if it's intentionally naive. It's kind of like William knows. He's got to know there's going to be a lot of scrutiny and attention to him. But mm-hmm. who knows? Yeah, he's going to go to school, though. And there's something along, he says something along the lines of, like, they'll be having enough attention on him. He won't even have time to worry about girls at college. It's not going to be a priority.
Oh, no, not at all.
But we get an entirely, I believe to be fictional scene, where he's reading his grades aloud to his family. Like, I just can't see the royal family being this jovial and excited to hear William's grades, even if he is the chosen one. They're reading off the grades, and Harry's got a gift for William. What's the gift?
A condom.
Oh, boy. I mean, Harry was getting up to some stuff, man, because he's, like, still 14 or something. Like, what's he doing giving out condoms, man? Come on.
It's really weird.
Where's he getting a hold of that stuff? Is it like...
and then everyone's, like, blowing him off. They're like, oh, he's so silly. That's our boy.
Well, yeah, Elizabeth isn't thrilled. Is Prince Andrew giving him the stuff? Like, come on, where's he getting it from?
Somewhere.
Yeah. But he says he's gotten into St. Andrews. It's his first choice. It's closer to Balmoral. And so, yeah, man, that's the school to be. And everyone's cheering for him when he shows up.
Well, we also forgot the fact that he's taking a gap year.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to go to all these different places, including Belize, Botswana, Kenya, Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a little smash cut of him getting his hands dirty.
Yeah, he lives the life.
And if you've watched his brother, the Harry and what's Harry's Meghan. Wife's name? I'm sorry, it's
Meghan.
Meghan Markle. Harry on, and Meghan. Harry and Meghan. Sorry, I'm too. I've got
Harry
two,
Meghan.
Three on my mind.
Yeah.
If you watch the Harry and Meghan documentary, they talk about how important Botswana is to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think some of this gap year stuff kind of bleeds into his brother's life, and as far as them being humble.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can almost think that they get that a little bit maybe from Diana and all her world travels and learning more about what's out there. Just yearning for adventure. But yeah, he's going to school. He's shaking hands, kissing babies. And Dave, how did that compare to your first few days at college showing up? Were people clapping?
I didn't shake any hands.
Okay.
I didn't kiss any babies. Mm-hmm. When I went, it was all just freshmen. So it was... It was a bunch of weird, nerdy, angsty humans trying to find their footing.
Yeah, I remember because I commuted to school. It was an anxious campus, anxious campus of kids, and a little nervous around each other, and very transient campus. So I didn't really get to know them all that well, but everyone was listening to Sexy back. That was 2006 for us, man.
Yeah, I don't really remember that from moving in, but I do remember that from, I remember that record.
Yeah, that was at the parties, man. But for William, he's got wild parties going on, a lot of Chemical Brothers going on. And yeah, he's got a bodyguard following him at all times.
Mm-hmm. This guy, and I looked up on IMDb, and I was like, I got to find out. Because there's mm-hmm. a line where him and Charles are going to his dorm, and Charles gives him a hug, and he's like, this is when the parties are about to start, huh? I should get out of here. And William is like, not with that guy around. And I was like, okay, this guy's a part of the episode. What's his name? Mm-hmm. He's got no name. He's got no name.
Oh, really? He's a man without
his
name.
His name is William is PPO.
Okay. We need to find out who his PPO is.
If you are the real life PPO of Prince William, hit us up. Well, we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, what a strange role he occupies this episode because, yeah, he spends a lot of it in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine how much dead weight having William around must have felt like having him around at college. Because, I mean, as much of a fun hang he is, there's just that stranger just standing out of the corner of their eye the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. But it gets to the point where, you know, there's clearly an agreement made between the two of them or whoever, where he's like doing little errands and sort of like not stalking. That's a word that comes up mm-hmm. later in the episode. He's kind of doing some recon for him.
Yeah.
And we'll get there when we get there, but this PPO is very busy on behalf of William. So,
and William is in with the boys, you know, they're getting pints, they're golfing, and they're joking about the women on campus, saying like, oh,
it's like a cartoon.
Oh my Lord, this is so, like, you can tell there's been a drop-off in the writing quality on the show based on Kate walks by, and then all four boys lean back as if they're in a ZZ Top music video.
They lean forward from the pillar. And then they do a shot where they lean back. And, you know, with all due respect to Kate, she's a beautiful young lady. She's not like a supermodel where she walks by and you're like, hubbada, hubbada, hubbada. She's I mean,
in that campus, maybe.
Like, yeah, perhaps.
She got legs.
To Lola.
Knows how to use them. That's the way they just lean back. Like, it's so cheesy. But also, classic teenage boys of just like talking up the women on campus. They don't see them as people, and they're also talking about swallowing hallucinogenic mushrooms as well.
Yeah, well, that's the little bro was talking about that too.
Mm-hmm. And
you see, he's there studying art, which seems very he seems kind of out of his depth when they start talking about art.
I mean, he's not an artistic guy. I think that's the answer here.
Yeah, but he's one of the most influential humans in the world, and he's decided to do this instead of something a little more practical.
Yeah, and he's talking to a girl at a party, and I think, yeah, art is their common interest part of it, and he's shacking up with her.
Yeah, he's Lola.
Lola Airedale, something else. It's a fake person, Dave. She's not real.
Oh, man. I was going to say she's got to be real, too, because the paparazzis are involved.
No, she's loosely based off of the real person, Carly Massey Birch, who said her connection was with William was that they're both country bumpkins.
Okay.
But she called it a typical uni relationship, you know.
Well, Lola seems to be much more along the lines of, like, for those that watch Belgravia, the next chapter, like the beatniks. Like, mm-hmm. She's got her fancy clothes and she's all like hip and colorful and artistic. And William's in this world, but he's a celebrity. You know, everywhere he goes, people are asking for his autograph. But him and Lola are having a good time shacking up. They're making out
going
in public.
To the movies.
She's yelling at the paparazzi.
I love the little tidbit that they're leaving a theater that's showing All About My Mother, the Pedro Almodovar movie. It's like, of course they went to an art house movie together, the two of them.
Of course.
And then they're making out in the streets, and people are taking pictures.
Yeah, this Lola is enjoying her time in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But Kate is there.
Right.
Kate is everywhere.
He's jogging by her in the morning. He's brushing past her in school. She beat him to a book in the library that he wanted to
and
read.
This is where his boy is like, hey, talk to her.
Yeah, the guard. Hey, eyes up. 6 o'clock.
Go do it, bro. He's like, thank you, nameless security officer.
So strange.
And then he goes and he talks to her and he's saying how, you know, they're having a nice conversation about there, it's like a meet cute, and we find out that she was in the same gap year program in Chile. She lives right above his dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh my God, that seems pretty cool. That's great. Wow, cool.
Yeah,
and he's
Africa.
Like, yeah, he's obsessed with her.
And he's talking to her, and then Lola comes up, though.
Yeah, and Lola's like, she gets real protective. She goes, oh, you're saying he's... That she you're fascinated by her. She's very intelligent. I forget what the exact line was.
Yeah.
And it gets into this big thing where she accuses him of talking on her behalf. And then he's just trying to defend the situation and it escalates. Basically, he winds up talking on Kate's behalf. He winds up talking on Lola's behalf and they're not thrilled about it. And you can see that Lola and Kate are sort of two sides of the coin, where she's the free-spirited, wild party girl who's like, let's just have fun at college. And Kate is like, my whole life has put me at this table right now for a reason.
There is something funny about the conversation in that it seems like Lola is less interested in being queen one day. Doesn't care about that. It's more the teenage, this is my man. Step off.
Or why is my man talking to somebody else that he finds interesting?
Yep. And then, of course, while they're talking, a woman comes up and says, hey, can you sign this? And he's like, whoa, bugger off. Get out of here. I don't have time for that.
And that makes both women upset.
Mm-hmm.
And then he winds up digging himself deeper, and he's like, you're women. You know what it's like to be...
ogled.
Ogled and fawned upon. And then Lola's like, oh, now you're speaking for women. Why don't you try being a woman? And he's like, well, it's a fit women.
Mm-hmm.
Must get this all the time. And she's like, excuse me? You just say fit women? Yeah. It's all women, not just the fit ones.
And they're both annoyed with him. And then as a mopey teenage boy, what does he do? He goes back to his room and reads Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah, reads Catcher in the Rye. I wrote that down. I was like, what?
What a loser.
He's not 15. He's like 19.
Yeah, right?
That's not a book for a 19-year-old. That's a book for like a 15-year-old.
Right, you get that done when you're 15, and then you relate to it intensely, and then you stop relating to it after your age 15.
Oh, I reread it at like 32, and it was like, this guy stinks. I would hate to be this kid's dad.
It's crazy.
He's a real pain in the butt.
Yeah. But he's drinking hard. He's a mess now. He's shopping in convenience stores with a security card down the aisle, eating a bunch of ramen like a loser.
Like a real college boy, not some royal.
Right, he's got a budget. Dude, you can get more than just the ramen noodles. Like,
yeah, you know, like in Harry Potter where he figures out he's rich and he just starts spreading the wealth. He's like, yeah, everybody get chocolate. I didn't know what to do with money.
Yeah.
William is the opposite of that, where he's like, I have money, but I'm only going to get 95-cent ramen.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it just tastes good to him. Who knows?
So now he's super bummed because he blew it with Kate, and he's got a huge crush on Kate.
And she's holding hands with another man.
Well, his boys are calling him saying, bro, it's the crazy party weekend. There's going to be the world's largest outdoor shaving cream fight. And he goes, I got to go to Balmoral and kill things with my little brother and my boy, my team.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're going to miss out. And then we see him loaded at a stereo trying to pick a CD to put on. And Harry is like, hey, man, is everything okay? Why don't you have something to eat? And William's like, no, leave me alone, leave me alone. And we see Drunk Dials his boys. Because now this show is at the point where we are officially in the era of Lords of Grantham are covering shows that have text messaging and cell phones, which means we've come too close to the current day.
Yeah, close to the sun here.
And his boys are like, bro, the shaving cream fight was banging, dude. They got painted like clowns. And he's like, I'm looking over, and Kate's with a man. You got to act fast, boy. And then he's like, oh, I got to go. A girl's holding my hand. And then William's like, all right, I just shot a bunch of pheasants with my dumb brother.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we cut back to being at school.
Mm-hmm.
And William comes face to face with Kate and this man.
Yeah, he saw her walking across the campus. How's the Vampire Weekend song go? How's he supposed to pretend? He doesn't want to see her again. But yeah. He's a little embarrassed because, she's got another man around her hand and he's just a loser. I don't remember much from this exchange other than he goes home and is talking to Elizabeth afterwards.
Yeah, well, he kind of apologizes and then she's like, okay, well, I hope everything's all right with Lola. And he's like, oh, God, I don't ever want to deal with her again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those apologies that clearly he doesn't know how to end the conversation because he likes this girl, and it's awkward, and he doesn't know whether to push it and say, like, you're really cool. Why, you want to be my, you know, like, leave this loser and come with me. But he doesn't have the juice to do that. So this guy's, you know, it's just like an awkward exchange. And then we fly to Christmas at the palace with the whole posse's back. Yeah. And he's thinking about leaving school. It's tough. It's hard. He's
down and out. And Elizabeth is saying, like, there's other fish in the sea, okay? You just got to go for them. And he's like, stalk them? Is that what I should do?
And she says, she's like, no. Well, there's a good thing where she's like, well, and also women are really stressing me out. And she's like, well, I never dated. We met a guy, we got married, and that was it. Look at that bum out in the living room. Your grandma.
I was a young teenager.
I hate that guy.
Yeah.
We didn't go on dates. And then he's like, well, if I try to follow these women or pursue them, it can be perceived as stalking. She's like, oh, I know what stalking is.
Mm-hmm.
I know what stalking is. Remember she Porchy?
Right, Porchy. Oh, boy, that poor guy. She says, I like to think what's meant for you won't pass you by. And it's like, that is the most false thing I've ever heard in my life. things that are meant for you will pass you by if you don't do the right things.
well, I mean, she's speaking from experience because she's the queen of the world.
Right. She's only gotten what she's wanted her entire life. She's speaking from privilege. Meanwhile, Kate's mom is talking to Kate. I don't know what else to call her.
She meets the
Kate's
new boyfriend at Christmas.
Thinks he's nice, but is a little worried if it's a little serious. Because she's got eyes. We didn't mention earlier in the episode when they announced William's plans for traveling and going to school. She's listening on a radio, like keenly observing what's going on here. And so they're alluding to what has been reported over time that Kate's relationship was with William was partially influenced by her mother putting her in situations to have similar experiences as William. And that's set her up to be kind of, you know, meant to be with him, you know, putting her in the right place in the right time. And the show is more than happy to lean into that because we don't have much other threads here to tag on in terms of this relationship.
No.
But yeah, she's kind of gently nudging Kate to consider, like, you know, there's a king to be at your school.
Yeah, and And Kate kind of calls her out on it. It's like, it's no coincidence that I went to this place that he went to and went to this place that he went to and did this thing that he did.
Yeah.
And her mom is like, well, I just wanted you to be happy. And it's like, oh boy.
Yeah. So as we're saying, William might leave university and Harry kind of shows him up after they've been drinking. Like, hey, dude, don't muscle in my territory. I'm the screw up here. Come on, bro.
Yeah. My dad wants me to go to rehab for weed.
Yeah. You can't be normal, man, like, or you're going to eclipse me. Like, come on. What does he say? Willie Saint, Harry Sinner. You know Peter Morgan is just clicking his heels that Harry wrote that autobiography last year, so he had some time to maybe write in some stuff that Harry was feeling, because there's no other insight he would have had into this if Harry hadn't put out that book. And that's the trouble with this episode, I think, is it's such recent history. It's really difficult for Peter Morgan to lend any kind of insights or depth to the story. It's all pretty surface level. William and Kate end up together. They seem pretty happy from the get-go. What else is there to it?
What I mean, yeah, you throw little things to complicate it, but how? Like, it's, yeah. The episode ends with Kate texting William, don't leave uni.
Like, really, was he ever that serious about leaving university? He's the king to be. It would be a bad look for him to just drop out. Just come on, dude.
But that's the episode. We've covered the whole thing.
49 minutes, but it really could have been covered in like 25 minutes.
I mean, we covered it in 25 minutes, so.
There you go. That's all you need to know. No headmaster either. I thought there'd be a little bit more follow up on that this week, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, he leaves high school, so he's done.
That is true. He has graduated. I completely lapsed on that. I'm a dumb man.
But he's on the IMDb cast page, our boy from Gilded Age.
That's the trickery. That's what got me. I need to go back to my alma mater. I need to educate myself again.
Walk around those streets of Connecticut.
This is not a great episode of TV. There's no dramatic heft to it at all.
Yeah. It was fine. It wasn't over long, so it was
good.
Okay.
Audio drops.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, we're slow. This is a slow walk to the end. They're really, you know, I think there's some discussion about, do we end The Crown with Diana's death? And I think they maybe should have.
Yeah. Or in like the immediate aftermath, or in like maybe strung that out, or just give us directions to go watch the Queen directly afterwards. But yeah, they're really, because you think about this too, they haven't been in that position as much where, when we focus on Queen Elizabeth the first couple of years, they introduce Charles as a teenager, and we spend some time with him. And it does take up a lot of bulk of it. And the thing, at least with Charles, is it leads up to the Diana of it all and what that means. So they're facing a little bit of trouble here of, okay, well, we got to introduce William because he's also going to be in the succession for the crown one day. But there isn't a dramatic pivot point to really build towards. And maybe it was this past year when they're kind of melting down about, you know, the whereabouts of Kate. And maybe it was with Harry and him coming to a head. But there's no big dramatic, we haven't seen the outcome of all that dramatic wait for William yet. So you can't really build a story there as you can with Charles. So it's a bit of clumsy writing going on right now. A little bit of struggling.
Yeah, but we have some power rankings, which were kind of a struggle in and of themselves.
Were they? I thought this was okay for me. I did okay this
week.
Yeah,
I mean, it's easier than some, but it's kind of tough. You want to start us off then?
There was four writers this week on this episode, by the way. Four.
That's how
much they're grasping at straws here. Well, number one, number three going down, I got the security guard. This guy's got to be a loser.
So do I.
Just hanging out at uni while these kids are getting smashed in the face and nothing to do with his life. How boring can that be?
And he's got to wake up and jog. I'm sure he wants to sleep. And he's like, all right, this kid's hungover. He's not going to waste my time. Nope. He's up. He's running. He's stalking.
Tough beat. Tough beat to have that PPO job. Well, yeah. And number two,
well, I mean,
going
it better
down,
pays well.
It probably does pay pretty well. Yeah. Number two going down, I got William. This guy is, he's in a funk. You know, he's not enjoying university as much as he thought. I mean, he's partying a lot, but he doesn't have all the girls. He's just not it, exactly.
Okay. Well, number two going down, I got Kate's mom.
Okay.
Because I think she's, you could say she succeeds, But I think Kate's on to her, and Kate realizes this sort of oh-ish moment of what have you done to my life? Like you've and Kate's mom comes off like a dance mom, like the most hardcore crazy dance mom, and it's a bad look.
Sure.
Whether or not this is all true or partially true, just based on the facts that we know, it's got to be true enough that this is a gross person that I probably wouldn't want to be around.
Well, number one going down, I got Harry. This guy's in the pits,
so,
man.
So do I.
He's going to rehab. He's annoyed that his brother's turning into a mess. And like the guy that they got playing Harry, his haircut looks nothing like. I mean, he just doesn't look like Harry. He looks like some like dweebish version. Yeah. Like, I just don't see it. And he doesn't look much younger than William, as much as he should. But that's the performance. The character himself is just having a bad week, too. He's just a mess. And he's giving out condoms to his brother in front of everyone. Like, get a grip.
In front of the queen.
I would never even do that in my own family. Like, yeah, come on. Get out of here.
He's got a bad phase.
Exactly. Dave, who's going up?
Well, number three, she's not real, but Lola... She's got a moment in the sun.
Yeah.
She's not here to become a queen. She's an actress or something, an artistic person.
Mm-hmm.
She clearly has eyes on William, takes her shot, winds up in the paparazzi, winds up screaming at the paparazzi like an idealistic teenager would. She gets to hook up with a future king and then emasculate him in front of the king's future wife.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty good look for Lola, even if she doesn't wind up with him permanently.
Sure. Well, at number three, I got St. Andrews, the school of St. Andrews. They must have felt lucky to have him on campus. How much media attention does that draw? Like, that's a huge get for that school. Good for them.
Yeah. They must have had to hire a lot more security people as well as the PPO.
Better food, too, in the cafe, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he's still buying ramen at the convenience store. But...
That's true. That is true.
Well, number two... You got him on the down rankings. I know he's a little bit mopey, but William is having fun.
Okay.
This guy takes a gap year. He learns a lot about the world.
Mm-hmm.
He learns about humility, as we see him talking to Kate Middleton about that. And he also gets laid. This is a formative time for this boy.
Well, I mean, I have Lola at number two for that as well. She gets to get all the goods of William without all the baggage of royalty. I mean... Mm-hmm. You could say the prize is being royal, but honestly, after watching the show, maybe it's not. So, good for Lola to just get in, get out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got Kate at number one. This is Kate's week.
I got the Middletons at number one.
The whole gang? You think your mom deserves the pat on the back too?
It was a two-hander to get her where she needed to be. With
that's what I had a tough. I just disliked Kate's mom so much. I was ugh.
Yeah, no, she's
not
pleasant.
I couldn't give her the moment.
Based on the show. I'm sure the Middletons were thrilled with her portrayal on this.
Well, the thing is, they're all alive and young enough to be able to, like, they probably had a Netflix account before The Crown even existed. They're like, all right, we're cool. We're watching Orange is the New Black. Oh, there's a show about The Crown. Maybe I'll be on it in 4 years.
Right.
Oh, you will be.
So strange. Yeah, Kate's right where she needs to be. And honestly, she has everything going in her favor. William's the one who's sad for her. She's got another guy in her arm. She's doing just fine.
You think she has unlimited texts?
You think
she's got 100 a month or something like that?
Something like that. 30 a month, maybe. So
she's not going over, though. I mean, clearly her parents can send her to all of these places to follow William around. So they got money.
The weird
thing
is...
They don't mind if she goes over the text limit.
Right, that's the strange thing. Is like to help with the dramatic effect of the story, the mother tries to paint them as someone like, you know, trying to strive upwards, get somewhere. And it's like, no, you have money. The fact that she has a phone and can text at that time shows that they have money. Like, you're doing just fine. We don't have sympathy for you. But, hey, it worked. By the way, have we seen Kate at all since she said she had cancer back in a month or so ago? Where
has
she
been? I
don't
think so.
Is she still missing? Because, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's this week on The Crown. Dave, you been watching anything else?
I think last week we talked so much about Star Wars, I forgot to say that I'm halfway through this current season of The Circle on Netflix, a show that we've talked about in the past that has been up and down in quality, but it's good. It's been, I think they front loaded so many seasons of that show in like 2 years.
Yeah.
That a lot of people got burnt out on it, but it feels like it's been at least a year, if not more, since we've gotten a new season. Mm-hmm. And after watching like The Traitors or these shows like Love is Blind, where you're sort of not face to face with someone and you're interacting through the circle, is like comfort food, but it also feels very low stakes.
Yeah. That was some criticism I read about the season online, is they just haven't evolved things enough over the seasons to keep it interesting or exciting.
Yeah, they do a thing, and I will say, if you're on the fence about watching, there's a story of there's an AI character in one of the rooms, and it's like, oh, this is a really interesting take on this. How is this going to play out? But like when they had the Spice Girls on a couple years ago, the AI is only on for like 2 episodes. And then it's like, I think there should be an AI the whole time and no one knows it until the end.
Right, right. Why ruin the fun?
Well, they're trying to say, can these people suss out an AI or no?
And do they?
I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay. Well, I'm not watching. I'm good. I'm good on the circle. Yeah. I've had my fill.
It's fun, but it's not. And somebody's catfishing that Lil Boo thing, Paul Russell. Paul Russell's sister is there.
Yeah.
And no one recognizes Paul Russell. So
I don't even know who Paul Russell is.
He's got the Lil Boo thing song.
Oh, that guy. That song. Yeah. And no one knows who he is.
One knows who he is by his picture. It is funny to see that on that. And she's like, oh, my brother's famous. He's like, yeah, he is, but no one knows him. He's TikTok song famous. He's background noise famous.
He's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. Well, as of now, what about you, Corey? You watch anything good?
I barely had time to watch anything, but because people were talking about that Baby Reindeer on Netflix, I was like, well, I guess I got to run right through this to make sure I understand what I'm missing out on. And I ran through it. It's a good show. It's much darker than I anticipated. A lot more darker than I'd expect for a popular show to be. It was good. It was really good.
Okay.
It's British. It's not a period drama, but it is British.
All right.
So, yeah, I recommend it. But just be prepared for like some dark stories to come out of it. It's about a man getting stalked by a woman, and so 7 half-hour episodes. There you go. I watched the Anne Hathaway movie though with my mom. The new one about her dating a Harry Styles type. Ideal
view.
How
was that?
Very watchable. Imminently watchable. Very more romantic than comedic, but my mom just put it on and I walked in the room and was like, oh, okay, we're watching this. It's very solid.
If you want some more British flavor. Not too horny? It definitely comes off pretty horny. Very horny.
I mean, the guy is supposed to be like a Harry Styles type. His name is Hayes. And the writer of the music in the movie is the guy who did the first 2 albums of One Direction. So it's very on the nose of what they're imitating. It's fun, though. It's a good time.
All right. That might make the cut for a date night.
Yeah, I think it would serve its purpose there. It's all better than the Anyone But You, which I finally caught up on Netflix, the Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell. It's just not funny enough, not romantic enough. Glenn Powell's great. He comes across as a real lead, but she is not funny. She's a good dramatic actress, I think, Sweeney. She's got some chops there. She's not funny yet. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, you got to earn that funny.
Yeah. If you need date night recommendations, those are the recent ones that came out there. So.
All right.
Do the other one, not the other one. Otherwise, we'll be watching Bridgerton and The Crown for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Reminder, Bridgerton season 2 on our Patreon if you want to hear us talk about it. But until then, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, X. Twitter and X.
Twitter X.
Separate things. Yeah. LordsGrantham@gmail.com. Hit us up with a 5-star rating or review if you so choose on anywhere where you get our podcasts. We have our Podbean website too for our whole catalog. And we will see you next time on the pod.